بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، brothers and sisters, life is a transaction. You give something to get something. That sounds a bit mercenary, but that is the reality of life. And the so-called secret of success, if there is one, and I believe there is one, is to be clear about what you are giving up to get what in return. In the context of Islam, the issue is to say that what am I giving up in the Akhirah to get what in the dunya. Islam gives us a method by which we can gain both in the Akhirah as well as in the dunya. Now this is something that seems to escape a lot of people. They think that if we want to gain something in the Akhirah, necessarily we have to sacrifice something in the dunya, which is completely untrue. You can have both. Islam is the only method where you can so-called have your cake and eat it too. You can have success in the dunya and success in the Akhirah. The only issue is that we have to get control of our nafs, get control of our desires. This morning, interesting and sort of amusing thing happened, and I pulled the leg of a friend of mine. He wrote to me asking me a question, and then he said, he sent me a message on WhatsApp asking the question, and then he said, may Allah preserve you, because you know how much I need you. So I said, thank you very much for the self-centered dua, because the day you stop needing me, then Allah need not preserve me. So he said, no, I didn't mean that, you know how much I love you and how much I need you in my life. I said, well, that's exactly the same dua in some other words. So anyway, he got trapped, poor guy. But my point is that I remember something that my first sheikh said to me. He didn't say to me, he was in a speech, he said this. And this was in the 60s. I'm talking about maybe 1965 or something like this, or 1967. I'm going to say it in Urdu the way he said it, and then I will translate it. He said, ke aadmi mar gaya to biwi bacche rote hain, ye kehte hain ki hai Allah hamara kya hoga. Koi ye nahi bolta ki hai Allah ab iska kya hoga, hamare liye isne tujhko naraz kiya, hamare liye isne rushwat di, rushwat li, hamare liye isne jhoot bola, hamare liye isne kya kya nahi kuch kiya taaki hum khush rahe, aur ab ye mar gaya, ab ye Allah ke paas chala gaya, ab iska kya hoga. Ye kabhi aap to rona nahi sunenge, aap to rona ye sunenge ki Allah hamara kya hoga, jo mar gaya uski kisi ko fikr nahi. He said that when a man dies, and this applies to men and women, he said when a man dies, his wife and children, they beat their heads and they beat their breasts and they cry and they say, oh Allah, what will happen to us? He said they will not cry and they will say, oh Allah, what will happen to him? Because for us, he displeased you, for us, he angered you, for us, he took bribes, he gave bribes, for us he lied and cheated, for us he did all kinds of things knowing that he should not do them, but he did that to please us, to give us what we wanted. Now he is facing you, what will happen to him? You never hear this lament. The lament is always, oh Allah, what will happen to us? My brothers and sisters, obviously these are general statements, they don't apply to everybody, so there's no need to feel offended about it. If it doesn't apply to you, alhamdulillah. But the reality is that, as I said, life is a transaction. Today, think about the kinds of things that we do and ask a simple question. And that question is return on investment, ROI. What am I giving to get what? As I've said many times before, alhamdulillah, most Muslims, or practically every practicing Muslim, who does something wrong, who commits a sin, who does something which he knows to be wrong is not doing it with the express intention of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not, he didn't wake up in the morning and say, today I want to anger Allah the way I've never done before. But he still does it. He still ends up doing that. And that is because he's trying to please somebody else. He's trying to please his family. He's trying to please society. He's trying to please his friends. He's trying to live up to some false image that has been ingrained and into him, that he has allowed himself to be conditioned by. He thinks that his success lies in doing certain things. All of this is happening to people who are actually practicing Muslims. These are not, I'm not talking about people who are atheists and this and that. I'm talking about people who are Muslim, who pray and so on and so forth. They give bribes, they lie, they cheat, they deceive, they are not true to their covenants, they are not true to their commitments. All kinds of things that we see among the Muslims, may Allah forgive us. This is happening to people who are otherwise, within quotes, at least externally, religious. So it's very important for us to take stock of our lives and say, what am I doing to please whom? I'm in Nigeria, as you know, and alhamdulillah, I mean, Nigeria is a country like any other country. It has its problems, it has good people and bad people and so forth. But I'm impressed with many things, and one of the things was yesterday I had a lecture at An-Nur Institute in Abuja, a beautiful, beautiful masjid. Interestingly, my lecture was a dars between Maghrib and Isha, which is roughly about an hour or so of time that we have in this part of the world. So I spoke for about 30-40 minutes. And then some questions and answers. Now what I was very taken up with and surprised was that there were about 250 people in the masjid. And that's a lot of people for a weekday between Maghrib and Isha. So I asked somebody there, I said, is this special for this dars, for my lecture? They said, no, this is our normal routine. He said, in this masjid, we gather for a dars every day between Maghrib and Isha. And so obviously there is somebody who comes and they speak. But people are sitting there from Maghrib to Isha in Dhikr, Tilawat Quran and so on, and listening to lectures on a daily basis, 365 days of the year, they do that. Perhaps in Ramadan they don't, I didn't check that. Second thing which very impressed me a great deal was that yesterday was Monday. And I saw people selling dates, packets of dates outside the masjid. And then when I came inside, as soon as the adhan went off, I saw a lot of people. They were eating dates, and then somebody came around with a plastic bag to collect the date seeds and so on. So everything very beautifully neatly done. But the issue is, this is Jamaatul Awwal. Yesterday was the first of Jamaatul Awwal. And it was on a regular Monday. There were enough people fasting on Monday, keeping the sunnah of Rasulullah alive, for it to be worthwhile for date sellers to sell dates outside the masjid. So we are not talking about the odd person who is fasting on a Monday. We are talking about a situation where this seems to be the norm. Now, obviously, I did not do a survey of all the masajid in Abuja or Nigeria. But if this masjid is anything to go by, then alhamdulillah, I'm saying that we are seeing, at least I'm seeing some really, impressive thing here of people practicing Islam and living by Islam. So the choices that we make, this is the whole issue of whole point of my reminder this morning to myself and you, is that we need to consciously think of every choice that we make. Because whenever there is a choice where you have to choose between two opposite things, then believe me, you will be pleasing somebody and you will be displeasing somebody. As I said, there are choices where you can please everyone, and alhamdulillah, all power to that. But wherever there is a situation where you necessarily have to pick between two opposite things, then you can be sure that if one will please someone, your choice, whichever one you make, will please someone and will displease someone. Now, your question and your decision point is, who do you want to please and who do you not worry about displeasing? So you're not trying to displease the other person, whoever it is, but you really don't care if they are displeased. Because to please the one you want to please supersedes the other one. So therefore, if I have to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the process, my wife, my husband, my child, my friend, my whoever gets displeased, well, I didn't start off by wanting to displease that person, but frankly, I couldn't care less. Because if I have to please that person at the expense of displeasing Allah, then sorry, that's not part of the game. That I will not do. And if the other person says, well, you know, I don't like you, well, don't like me, who cares? Because one day we have to leave. And that is the whole point, to constantly remind ourselves that one day we have to leave. No matter what we do, no matter where we live. Alhamdulillah, we finished the Seerah workshop in Abuja. This weekend it is in Kaduna. Today I'm going to Kaduna, and tomorrow and day after we have some brainstorming sessions about teaching the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I request you for your dua for hikmat and guidance to be able to do something which is worthwhile, which will become a source of sadaqah al-jariyah for everyone who's involved in it. But the main purpose, somebody asked me this question yesterday in the masjid. He said, why are you here? So I said, I'm here to introduce Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, after whom there is no messenger, there is no Rasul, there is no Nabi, to introduce him and to introduce his message to the whole world. I said, this is my aim in life. This is what I believe I'm here to do, is to try to practice myself first, the seerah and sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to take this message to every living human being on the face of the earth. Now, how that is to be done, Allah knows best, and Allah will provide the means for that. And Azib, in this case, I'm already seeing signs of the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the work of the deen, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to bless us with that barakah, to take this message to as many people in the world as possible. Because I'm absolutely convinced that the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the secret, is the tool, is the solution for the problems that we face in this world. Whether those problems are economic, whether they are political, whether they are social, the solution lies in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that solution is available, and that solution is accessible to anyone, irrespective of their religion. You don't necessarily have to become Muslim to do that. Of course, if you do, that's good for you. But even if you don't, you can still practice and you can still learn from the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this will be beneficial for the person who learns. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make the right choices and to have the courage to live by those choices, and not to keep on succumbing and doing the wrong thing and claiming this great weakness. I say that this is an absolute fallacy. It's an oxymoronic thing to say that you are weak, because when you are saying you are weak and you are displeasing Allah, then you are really saying that you are so strong, that you are stronger than Allah, that you don't need to please Allah. So where is the weakness? Right? You are lying to yourself. You say, if you are weak, then you should be afraid of offending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the strongest, who is Allahu Akbar. So instead of that, you are ready to offend Allah and you are saying that you are too weak. What weakness is this? This is a lie. You are cheating yourself. Go stand in the mirror, look at your face and tell yourself that, you know, that you will stop doing this, that you stop lying to yourself. There is no one in the world who needs to be pleased at the expense of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolutely no one. And that is something that we need to be very clear in our minds about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said even about parents, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Allah said, do not obey them, meaning Huma, the two of them, do not obey them if they tell you to do something which is against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where does anyone else count? Even parents are to be disobeyed. And this is the instruction, this is the ayat of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to disobey. It's not somebody's fatwa, it's not someone's opinion. It is Allah's hukum to say, disobey even your parents if they tell you to disobey Allah. And that's why, my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, stop playing games with yourself, stop telling lies to yourself, because one day you and I will stand alone before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that time, we don't want to have all these games come up before us and to see the reality of that. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.